Well, good morning, everybody. We are glad to have you here at church. I want to welcome everybody here at the Fayetteville campus, regardless of whether you're in this room or spread out in the overflow rooms today. As we've been talking about, due to COVID and spacing, we're having to use a lot of different parts of this building to try to be in a safe manner. So hopefully that will end at some point. We'll see whenever that is. We also want to welcome so many of you who are watching online. We are glad to have you as well. Now, before we get into what we're going to talk about today, let me address something that happened last week. You may have noticed it. You may not have noticed it. But I wore a brand new sweater last week. And I wore a button-down shirt, kind of like the one I have on. And what resulted was this. And I'm going to just throw it up here on the screen for you. If you look square in the middle right here, it appears that I have a massive belly button. I just want to be clear, I do not have a massive belly button. I noticed this right after the first service. I walked kind of around here and through the offices to my office back there. And my assistant, Jill, she was like, hold up, we have a wardrobe problem. And she did that. And then our worship pastor at Pinnacle Hills, who they get the first service streamed, he texts me a picture. Literally was circled around the so-called belly button. And he said, bro, this is either, I think it's your button, could be an Audi. He said, praying it's not a hernia. But I just want to be clear, it was a button, okay? It was not my body, it was a button. I didn't feel like I could get into the Word of God today without all of us being on the same page, okay? So I apologize, and after I found it out the first service, I literally was insecure the rest of the day. I mean, if you noticed, I was carrying my Bible a lot like this last week as I was preaching, you know, bunching it up, you know, just trying to get out of, it was a terrible experience, and I just want to apologize to everybody, especially the children, and no, I'm just kidding. All right, well, that's enough of that, but I did want to cover it, and it's been covered. So with that in mind, let's grab our Bibles, and I want you to grab it, turn to the book of James. Today we are beginning a brand new series that we are calling When Life is Scattered. When Life is Scattered. We're going to spend all the way up to Palm Sunday just simply walking verse by verse through this great book of the Bible. And if you have been alive and well the last 10 months in our nation, really around the world, if there's one thing we all can relate with, it's the idea that we just feel scattered. Everything's off, okay? And if you remember, the first Sunday that we shut down and went online was March 15th of last year. And if you remember in those days, we all thought, well, maybe it's going to last a few weeks and we'll be back in church by Easter. Okay, well, that didn't happen. And so everything up from that point on has just been different. School's different for kids and college students. Family life is different. Hanging out with your friends is different. Going to a restaurant's very different. Your business and your career life is different. Everything is different. And if there's one thing that all of us have this resounding feeling, it's just, man, just things seem out of place. They're not as they should be. It's like a puzzle, which is like two-thirds of the way done and all these pieces that are missing. Now, I hate puzzles, okay? I think there are puzzle families and there are non-puzzle families, okay? How many of you would say we are a puzzle family? Raise your hand across all the rooms. Okay, lots of puzzle families. Not judging. Just don't understand you people, okay? How many of you say we are not a puzzle family? That's what I'm talking about. My spirit resounds with your spirit today. I don't like puzzles because they take too long, okay? And there's too many pieces. And, you know, the puzzle makers are intentionally being annoying. They're just like intentionally trying to make it difficult for you. I just don't call that fun, okay? And so we're not a puzzle family. We won't be a puzzle family. I can think, honestly, Meredith's here. She could attest to this. I think we've done one puzzle as a family in our entire 15 and a half years of marriage, okay? And that was enough of that. I think that was even during COVID because you're like, man, we got to figure out something to do with the kids. And so we're not a puzzle family. But I want you to think about your life like a puzzle. And if there's, again, one thing that you could think about, it's like, man, it just seems like things are not all put together. Things are not in the right place. And that's where our heart turns to the book of James. James chapter 1, and like I said, we're just going to walk all the way through this over the next several weeks together. We're going to cover 18 verses today. And so I hope you came prepared to listen quick, because if you don't listen quick, we're going to be here till noon, okay? But if you do, I'll get done on the right time, okay? So I'm going to fly intentionally to get through this. But look at verse 1, what it says. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Well, you might automatically stop and say, well, 12 tribes, what are you talking about? And what's a dispersion, all right? This is referencing who James is writing to. He is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel who have been dispersed, or in other translations say it this way, they have been scattered among the nations. There are some scholars who even believe that this dispersion or this scattering was a direct result of persecution that was taking place in Jerusalem. So all these believers, they've come to faith in Christ, they're on fire for the Lord, the government starts to crack down on them, and what do? They flee to the different places. Most likely, James is writing to people all the way in Babylon, even in Mesopotamia, and he is writing to encourage them in their faith. And he speaks to them about how their life is scattered. And in many ways, James is one of the most simplistic simplistic books in the entirety of the Bible. It has been likened to a New Testament book of Proverbs. You say, well, Nick, why are we going to talk about the book of James right now? Because James was written to a people that were scattered, much like we are scattered today. And when life is scattered, it's time to go back to the basics. It's time to go back to some fundamentals. And probably over the last 10 months, there may have been some areas of your life where you say, man, I've kind of swerved and I've kind of veered off course a little bit. And listen, this series is all about you coming back. And it's all about you getting back to where you need to be, putting some pieces of your life back together. Now, we've entitled this first message, you just need to lean into Jesus. Lean into Jesus. Here's our main thought for today. If you're a note taker, would encourage you to write it down. When life is scattered, lean into Jesus. So if your life is described by all that I've talked about so far, you need to lean into Jesus right now. You say, well, Nick, what does it mean for me to lean into Jesus? It means this: when you need encouragement, you go to God. When you need help in your life, you go to God. When you need hope in your life, you go to God. You don't run from the Lord, but you're running to the Lord when life feels scattered. Now, as we get started here today, I think there are two things that cause a scattering in your life, all right? These two things are true, especially right now during COVID. But here's what I want you to understand. If we could fast forward into the future 10 years, this will still be true. These two things I'm going to talk about. And think about what life will be like in 10 years. Surely we're not wearing masks in 10 years. Please, Lord. We're gonna have 21 days of prayer again immediately just to ask the Lord for that not to happen, all right? But here's two things that cause a scattering in your life. James addresses both of these within the first 5 verses. Number one is this: trials. When you walk through bad things in your life. Look at verse 2. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so the Bible's very clear right here. When you're walking through bad things, lean into Jesus. And the Bible gives us a command here. He says, when you walk through hard times in your life, you need to count it all joy. Can we not have the church mask on for a second? Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? And can we just be honest with one another? This is completely 100% unnatural. Like, how many of us, when we face some kind of trial in our life, are like, oh yeah, baby, I've been waiting for this. Yeah, let's do this, okay? How many times we say, man, I'm so grateful to be walking through financial trouble right now. And I love it. I love it. Not knowing where my next meal is going to come from. I'm just overwhelmed. How are we going to pay the mortgage? Do you really say, man, I'm so happy that my marriage is just going through a rough patch right now. It's fun. Something new, fresh. I mean, we just don't respond that way, right? Completely unnatural to do what the Bible's asking us to do here. And so why is God asking us to count it all joy when we begin to walk through trials? I think it's because of this. Because we need to see the big picture of how God moves in our life. And how does God move in your life? How does he grow you in your life? He grows you through trials. Now, listen to what the Bible says here. If you got a pen, I would write down 1, 2, 3 in your Bible. Number one, I would write next to the phrase testing of your faith. So when you have trials, number one thing that happens, it's a testing of your faith. And what does that lead to? I would put a 2 over the word steadfastness, or your version may say perseverance. This is talking about doing the things that you need to do in the midst of difficulty, okay? I would write a 3 over perfect and complete. And so here's the idea. When you walk through trials, number one, it provides a testing of your faith. And if you're faithful in the midst of that testing, it leads to steadfastness in your faith. And if you're doing what you need to do, you're walking with the Lord through that steadfastness, it ultimately ends up at a place where you are perfect and complete with the Lord. Now, you may be sitting next to a spouse and you're like, well, bro, you ain't hit number 3 yet. You're definitely not perfect. The argument on the way to church proved that today. When the Bible says perfect and complete, don't think about perfect as in sinless. Think about perfect as in wholeness and maturity. So here's what this is ultimately getting at. If you'll do it God's way, trials can grow you. If you'll do it God's way, trials can mature you in ways that nothing else can. So here's the message. When life is scattered, lean into Jesus. When you lean into Jesus, you grow. I wonder how many of us are wasting a trial right now. You ever done that in your life where you've been through the entire thing from start to finish and nothing happens spiritually in your life? What do we call that? That's a waste. So if you're in the midst of a trial right now, which no doubt every one of us is in some form or fashion, I would encourage you to lean into Jesus for maturity, for growth, to build that steadfastness in your life so that you don't waste it in your life. Second thing that James speaks to here that causes a scattering, not only trials, but uncertainty. Uncertainty. He says it in verse 5 this way. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So here's a question for all rooms today. Anybody ever struggle with not knowing what to do? Anybody ever have some uncertainty? We're like, Lord, I really don't know what direction I'm supposed to go right now in this situation. Here's what the Bible says. If you need wisdom, ask God. One of the most simple commands in all of the Bible. If you need wisdom, ask God. I love what the Bible says here. It says that when you do that, God generously gives to all without reproach. And so if you're facing uncertainty in your life, God brought you to church for this one single thing right here. Like if you walked in thinking, man, I really need God to speak to me today. I just don't know what to do right now. Lean into the Lord for wisdom right now. God, we often treat him as, well, Lord, just hiding from me. He didn't want me to know what he wants me to do. And I'm just so confused. And I got to be honest with you. I've had hundreds of times in my life where I have not known what God was asking me to do. Sometimes you get so frustrated. We're like, man, Lord, I will do whatever it is you're asking me to do. I just don't know what it is you're asking me to do. And so how do you hear from God? You ever wonder that today? How do you hear the voice of God in your life for wisdom? I've taught this here at Fayetteville several times before, but a good day to reiterate it. Charles Stanley mentions 4 ways that God speaks to us in our life. If you're a note taker, these are fantastic things to write down. Number one is this. God speaks to us through the Bible. This is the primary way that God speaks to us. I have found time and time and time again in my life, when I am just systematically reading the Word of God every day, God speaks to exactly where I'm at in my life. In fact, I can give you testimony. I believe it was Thursday or Friday when that very thing happened. I'm reading through the book of Joshua in my time with the Lord, and boom, God spoke to an issue in my life that I didn't really want to hear, but I needed to hear about, if you know what I'm saying. God speaks to us through the Bible. Now, the other 3 of the 4 that I'm going to mention, they will never contradict the first one. They will never contradict the Word of God. In fact, if you're praying and you're asking God for wisdom, and God, you feel like God has told you something that is completely different from the Word of God, that is not the voice of God. It may be bad Taco Bell from last night, but it is not the Word of God speaking into your life, okay? Number one way, through the Bible. Number 2, it's through prayer. I would even say prayer slash the Holy Spirit, okay? There are times in prayer where God will just burden your heart. He will give you direction in the midst of that. I believe that's the gift of the Holy Spirit living within you. When you first came to Christ, believer, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside and indwell in your life. And I've got great confidence in this one thing. If God is living in me, if God is living in you, then he is big enough, strong enough, and loud enough in your life through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to give you direction on what you're supposed to do at any point in your life. Number three, way that God speaks to us, through people, through people. Here's some great advice for you. Will sound really elementary when I say it, but really key. Find godly friends. That's the benefit of the church. You come into a family. If your friends don't know the Lord, don't care about the Lord, don't care about the Bible, and you're going to them for wisdom in your life, you're not going to go the direction that God wants you to go. You need people that know Jesus, that are walking intimately with him, who know the word of God, and those are the kind of friends that you need. In an abundance of counselors, there is safety, the proverb says. He who walks with the wise is what? Wise. Talk to my son about that passage even this last week. The last way that God speaks to us is simply through circumstances. Through circumstances. Sometimes I think we get frustrated with God. Lord, I'm praying. I'm not hearing anything. I mean, I'm reading. I was in Leviticus today. Lord, I heard nothing. Heard nothing about what I should do with my girlfriend, you know? And you just get so frustrated. And I wonder how many times we are completely blind to circumstances. How many times that we tried to push a situation through that God had clearly put a wall up. We're like, no, Lord, this is what I want. I love it. I need it in my life. And we just hit a wall. And we need to listen to how God is speaking to us through our circumstances. Here's the promise from verse 5. You need wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it. Sometimes when people come to me after the service and I'm praying with them, and they're asking for wisdom for something, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'll just call God on his word on James 1:5. That's not disrespectful to the Lord. That is honoring to the Lord. Here's what it looks like. Lord, you said, James 1:5, if we need wisdom, you say we can ask for it and you'll give it generously to all. So Lord, we're asking on behalf of my brother, on behalf of my sister in Christ, like they need your wisdom. So Lord, we just call upon your promise that you will give it to them. That's an honoring thing to do to God, not a dishonoring thing to do to God. Keep on reading. It connects to verse 5 here, verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So think about the word picture here. Imagine an ocean, and you have times where the ocean is very calm, and then the wind picks up and the storm happens, and what happens? Man, those waves are just roaring. I remember when I was probably in junior high, my family did a vacation somewhere in Florida, and my parents had set up an opportunity for us to go deep sea fishing. If you've never been deep sea fishing, it is awesome, okay? So you need to do that. And we were in the midst of that, and it was one of those rough days on the water. And you know, if you've ever been on a rough day on the ocean, it's not like this. What is it? It's like this. I mean, it's back and forth where you feel like you're gonna hurl. And if you are my brother and you ate Krispy Kreme donuts that morning, you actually will over the side of the boat. I love that story because it's my brother. And so think about that in relation to what the Bible's saying. If you went out deep sea fishing on a rough day on the water and you tried to stand on a part of the boat where you can't hold on to anything and that boat is rocking, you're going to be like this. Unstable in all your ways. That's what the Bible's saying. So really there's two promises in chapter 1 so far. Promise number one, if you need wisdom, ask God, he'll give it to you. Promise number two is this. If you pray in doubt and not in faith, you can fully expect to hear nothing from God. So how many times do we pray, Lord, I need wisdom. I know he's not going to give it. You ever pray that? That's a terrible prayer, right? How many of us have prayed it though? Lord, we need you to speak to our family about this situation. I wish God would just write it in the sky because I'm not going to hear anything from the Bible. The Bible says if you pray like that, you pray not in faith, but you pray in doubt. I love the way James writes it. That person can suppose that they will hear nothing from the Lord. So if you are in a place of uncertainty, you're like, man, I'm not hearing from God. All four of those ways you mentioned, I'm hearing nothing from God. Could it be that God's not the problem? Your faith is the problem. And you're praying in doubt, not in faith. Here's the principle here. When life is scattered, lean into Jesus. When you lean into Jesus, you get wisdom. So when you lean into God in the midst of uncertainty, there are some things that God can do in your life that nobody else can do. You get wisdom in those times. Now keep reading, verse 9. Told you we were going to fly. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will a rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. This is one of those passages where you read it and you get a little cross-eyed and you're like, I don't know what the Bible's talking about here. Okay, well, what's the point of what the Word of God is saying here? It's saying this. Related to trials and uncertainty. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, you're going to face both. Doesn't matter if you're watching online or in any of the rooms here at Fayetteville today. Doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have, you're going to be faced with trials and with uncertainty in your life. And the same principle is true for the rich, the middle class, and the poor. You got to lean into Jesus for wisdom during those times. That's the point. Now keep reading. Verse 12. Verse 11 is a pivot point. So when that verse concludes, verse 12 basically begins this talk. So if you do what the Bible's saying, the first 11 verses, here's the result in verse 12, okay? It says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. I would underline that phrase, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, everybody likes a crown, right? I mean, when you're a little kid, especially if you were a girl, man, you got a fake crown, you just loved it, right? If all of us could be kings and queens, it'd be awesome, right? We get a crown. What is the Bible talking about when it calls the crown of life, when it mentions that? It is speaking about eternal life here. Now, this is really important to understand so that you don't get your wires crossed and think something that is not consistent with the whole of the Bible. This is not a works-based salvation formula whereby, okay, if I am steadfast during trials, then I will go to heaven. It's not what the Bible's saying here. If I go to church in the midst of uncertainty, then I'll go to heaven. It's not the point here, okay? Think about verse 12 like this. Your life and all that comes with it, trials and uncertainty, is a revealer of where your salvation really lies. Okay? So in other words, think about it this way. Trials have a way of bringing out what is really inside of you. You ever heard the phrase, man, when you get squeezed, what comes out? I think I butchered that. It's some other phrase, but you know what I'm talking about. And what's really inside of you in those times comes out. And so trials and uncertainty are a great proving ground for you to really ask yourself, is there evidence of salvation in my life or evidence of not knowing Jesus in my life? It really goes to the heart of your salvation. Verse 13 goes into a passage on temptation, which you might say, well, that doesn't seem like it lines up with everything. We're talking about wisdom and trials and uncertainty and then temptation. What does temptation have to do with this? Verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Pause there. I spoke about this on January 10th, okay, this specific passage within another message. So I'm not going to go in depth in this. If you want to hear more about that passage, go watch January 10th, okay? Here's the point, though. Like I said, you may see this passage on temptation and think, well, that doesn't really fit with where the rest of the passage is. Why is there a passage, three or four verses, about temptation? I think it's because of this. There is something about trials that tempt us towards sin. Case in point, think about it like this way. You ever been so beat down by life circumstances that you just kind of give up your fight against sin for a day or two? Or do you ever get frustrated with God? Like, what, Lord? I mean, you're not speaking to me. I mean, I feel like you're so distant from me. Like, why does it even matter if I indulge just a little bit? The Bible says, do not be deceived. Like, that's not the direction you want to go. Verse 17, let's wrap this thing up here. The Bible says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Two different Greek words are used here. Literally could, in its most literal sense, sometimes when you have Greek and you have English, they have to make sense of it in English, if that makes sense, because it wouldn't be good grammatically in English. But in its most literal sense, here's what it would mean. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above. It's like a double emphasis here on this. Taught you this a few months ago in a series we did, that God is responsible for every good thing that has ever happened in your life. Remember that? God is responsible for every good thing that has ever happened in your life. That echoes actually James 1:17. God by nature is a generous God who, if you will come to him in the midst of trials and uncertainty, he'll grow you, bring you to a place of maturity. He'll give you wisdom. God will do some things in your life that only he can do. And the Bible says he does not change. The Bible says this phrase, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The Jesus we read about is the same Jesus we serve today. The Bible says this about the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a great promise for our hearts today. Verse 18, let's wrap it up and be done. It says this, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now what in the world does that mean? What is this speaking about? This is actually addressing salvation, or as it's often called in the Bible, regeneration, when you go from being dead to alive spiritually. Grammatically, this is written in such a way in the original language here that it brings out this truth that God is the one who has caused you to be saved. Like, that's really, really important for us to understand today. God is the one who has caused you to be saved. He has brought you forth by the word of truth. So if God is the giver of salvation, if God is the one who accomplishes salvation, who does not do it? Me and you. So let me rattle it off. You're not saved by being at church today. And I'm glad you're here today. You're not saved by watching the live stream today at home. You're not saved by trying to be a good moral person. You're not saved by how much money or by how little money you have. You're not saved by your generosity to a church or to a charity. You're not saved by trying to be better than somebody else. It is by grace and by grace alone. God brings us forth by the word of truth. And how does he bring us forth? How does he bring us into the family of God? How does he save us and forgive us of our sins? Grace. Great. If there's one word that we could describe the last 10 years of this church as, here's what it could be: grace. It's all of grace. The Bible says that God did this so that we could be a kind of first fruits of his creation. You read that and you're like, wow, what does that mean? The idea here is that when we come to faith in Christ, remember what Paul says? Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so what James 1:18 is referencing is this: what God does in you is a glimpse of the new creation coming in the future. So when God looks at you and he says, man, Joe, you're no longer who you used to be. You're a new person. Jennifer, you're no longer who you used to be. You're a new person. It's an eyewitness account for the world to look at us and say, man, there is something new coming in the future. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Everything that is wrong in this world, he will make right when he returns again. And I gotta just ask you as we wrap up this message today, are you ready for that day? If Jesus Christ were to return today, are you prepared? If God just decided, hey, today's the day I'm bringing about a new creation, would you be at the point where you would say, man, I know Jesus. I've become a new creation. Or would you say, you know what, I never turned my defiant heart towards the Lord, and you'd be destined for a real place called hell. And so today, you know, the ending of James chapter 1 really points us to an inward personal inventory for every single person here. Do you know Jesus? What do the trials and uncertainty in your life say about your salvation? Is it evidence of, man, yeah, when I'm walking through stuff, man, I'm turning to the Lord. Evidence of salvation. Or when I'm walking through trials and uncertainty, man, I turn to sin. Could be evidence that you've never really met Jesus. And so today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here's my encouragement to you. Will you lean into the Lord Jesus Christ today? Whatever areas your life has seemed scattered in, whatever different parts of your life seem out of place, it's time to lean into the Lord and allow Him to put those things back together, just one by one by one, as we walk through this series. If you've never met Jesus Christ personally, there is not a greater day in the history of the world than today for you to meet Jesus personally. You are surrounded in every one of these rooms by people who have done the very thing that I'm about to give you the opportunity to do. If you're watching online today, you're not there alone. Some of you, the Holy Spirit of God is grabbing by the chest saying, this is the day of salvation for you. So today, if you're ready to meet Jesus Christ, like 2,500 other people have the last 10 years, if you want to become a new creation today, let's bow together all over these rooms, and I want to lead you in a prayer to God. If that's you and you say, Nick, I'm not prepared for Jesus to return. I've never turned my life over to Christ, but I am so ready today. This is exactly what God has been doing in my life. I can sense it all coming together right now. Will you lean into Jesus for the very first time? Pray something like this to God. You can put it in your own words. It's the heart that matters. Jesus, today, I lean in. I press in to who you are. I turn away from a life of sin and a life lived for myself. And today, in faith, I give my life to you. Would you forgive me of my sin? And would you begin a process of change in my life right now? Just wrap it up like this. Jesus, today, I give my life to you. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, today, wherever you are, whether you're in this room or one of the overflow rooms at Fayetteville, maybe you're at your home in your living room, and you just pray to receive Christ, man, if I were with you, I would give you a big hug. I know it's not COVID-friendly, but I've already had it, so I'm good, okay? I would give you a safe hug and just rejoice with you at what God has done in your life. And we're going to throw a number up here on the screen behind me today. And we want you to text us your first and last name. There have been hundreds of people who have been saved over the last year, just what happened in your very life. And you can text us your first and last name to the following number, 479-343-8777. And I hope that you will do that. All we're going to do is to encourage you in your newfound walk. We're not going to do anything weird, not going to come visit you today. All we want to do is to reach out to you and begin a conversation about how we can help you in the future in your walk with Christ. So if you just made that decision, you text us right now, and we would love to talk to you.